Cards tonight?
Axel immediately stripped off his suit jacket and loosened his tie.
Ugh, I can't do cards. I need to look at those fucking files and figure out who this female is I am to meet in a couple days.
Theon went straight to the kitchen and poured himself another glass of whiskey.
Pool or darts, then?
Axel grabbed a bag by the door and moved towards the bathroom.
Either is fine. Tessa, come change.
She followed him through the bedroom and into the closet. He pulled out leggings and a thermal before turning to face her. Crooking a finger in her direction, he beckoned her closer. She pursed her lips, her hands going to her hips as she glared back at him. She didn't move.
Come here.
I don't need your assistance to change.
Come here, Tessa Lynn.
She rolled her eyes and moved towards him. As soon as she was within reach, Theon snatched her off her feet and lifted her onto the island dresser. She gasped at the unexpected movement. His hands lingered on her hips before he slid them down the outside of her thighs, her calves, all the way to her feet. He unbuckled her heels, sliding them off. When both of her shoes were removed, he braced his hands on either side of her, caging her within his muscular frame.
I need you to accept this source bond, Tessa.
I don't care what you need, Theon.
To her surprise, though, he didn't immediately snap back at her. He leaned forward, bringing his nose to the crook of her neck, inhaling deeply.
I want to hunt down Pavel and Matthias and peel the flesh from their bones. Then make them eat every piece of it. Then I want to break each bone in their body in multiple places before taking them up the mountain and leaving them there for the beasts of the woods to pick off piece by piece.
Tessa sucked in a breath at the violence he was describing.
No one touches what is mine.
His lips brushed her throat.
I said I would take care of you, Tessa. And I know what you need. You need to accept this bond.
You don't know anything about what I need.
Her heart pounded out a weird rhythm at his closeness.
No?
He pulled back and brought a hand to cup her cheek.
Then enlighten me, little storm. What do you need?
I need to go home.
It was the first thing that came to mind, and she didn't give herself a chance to hesitate when saying it.
You are home.
This isn't my home. My home is with Dex and Aurelia and—
I do not know how to make this any clearer to you, Tessa. You are going to be separated from them eventually.
His hand fell from her face.
Do you know what it means when I sign those documents, assuming complete dominion?
I know what you think it means.
Complete possession and retention. They are no longer yours, and you are no longer theirs. You are certainly no longer his.
What the fuck does that mean?
I saw you wrapped up in that Fae's arms at the opening selection ceremony. I can only assume that was this Dex you refer to so often. If you are expecting me to apologize for not giving you a chance to say goodbye to your lover, you are not going to get it. You are mine, Tessa.
He is not my lover, you arrogant son of a bitch.
Theon's brows shot up at her words.
Care to say that again?
He stared her down, and Tessa didn't give a shit anymore. This day had been pure and utter torment. She had been chased through the gardens, had barely escaped Pavel and Matthias getting a hold of her, had dealt with Theon's on and off again moods this evening, and had been used in a power play against his father.
Which part? She brought her face up to his. The part about Dex not being my lover or calling you a son of a bitch. Because both are true, and I will gladly say them both again. Theon's hand shot out, gripping her by the throat. And he was pushing her down onto her back. Her hands flew to his wrist, wrapping around it and trying to pull his hand away, but it was no use. She would never be any match for his strength.
Theon!
She squirmed to try to get away from him, but he held her firmly in place with that one hand. He smirked down at her as she struggled, his dark magic coiling like snakes around his forearm.
Tell me, Tessa Lynn, did your precious Dex ever touch you?
His hand wasn't tight enough to cut off air, but he made it clear she would not be moving until he allowed it. His eyes slowly raked over her, and his other hand came up, his fingers trailing along the flesh exposed by the slit of the dress.
No, never like that. He's never been that.
So, who has touched you?
His head tilted to the side as his gaze followed his fingers skating up her leg. More and more dark shadows were drifting around him, tendrils reaching for her, and she tried to flinch away from his power.
One of the other Fae with you that night?
Tessa shook her head, but when she didn't speak, his fingers flexed around her throat, air getting trapped.
No!
He immediately loosened his grip.
Fae have never touched me.
You are untouched.
She shook her head again, and his eyes narrowed.
A legacy touched you. Who?
No!
His fingers had tightened again, and she wasn't even sure he knew he was doing it. She dug her nails into his skin, trying to suck down air.
I've only ever been touched by mortals.
He couldn't hide the shock at that admission, and his fingers slackened around her throat.
Why the fuck would you let mortals touch you?
Because I didn't know where I was going to end up after this election, and I didn't want to have an intimate relationship with someone when I would likely be separated from them. So we would sneak off the estate on a regular basis, and I fucked around with mortals. No attachments made, and no feelings required.
Theon stepped back from her, his hand dropping to his side. Tessa slowly pushed into a sitting position, her hand massaging her throat where he had gripped her.
Despite what you think, Theon, I am well aware that I would have likely been separated from the majority, if not all, of my friends after selection. However, I would have had time to prepare for that. I had an entire year. Instead, I was ripped from everything I knew by a bastard who only views me as a piece of property to be used as he sees fit.
The muscle in his jaw ticked as he stared at Tessa. Then he stepped forward, caging her between his arms once more.
You are forcing me to treat you as property, Tessa.
How do you figure that?
You need to accept this bond.
This fucking bond is all you care about!
She shoved hard at his chest, not that she moved him even an inch.
As long as you get what you want, fuck whoever suffers because of it, right?
Theon lurched back from her.
Change.
He grabbed a pair of his own lounge pants and swiped up his drink before he stalked to the bathroom. Tessa changed quickly into the clothing Theon had set out for her before she made her way back to the main room. Theon still hadn't re-emerged. She eyed Luca and Axel warily. Axel was racking the balls, preparing for a game of pool. They had both changed as well, but neither of them acknowledged her. She went to the fridge to retrieve a bottle of water before going to the bay window. The moon was a faint crescent amongst the stars. She could see nothing else out in the darkness.
You are forcing me to treat you as property.
Theon's words kept ringing in her ears. She leaned her head back against the cool window, closing her eyes as the words played on repeat over and over.
How could he blame her for this? She hadn't asked for any of this. And what had that even been in the dressing room? He'd gone from speaking softly to her, to demanding to know who had touched her, to snapping at her to get dressed in the span of 5 seconds.
I need to know what happened in the gardens, Tessa Lynn.
She opened her eyes to find Luca and Axel staring at her. Both of them had their arms crossed, leaning back against the billiards table. Theon stood nearby, another drink dangling from his fingertips at his side. The coldness on his face told her she was dealing with the heartless Arius heir.
Did you create the crevice?
No. I don't know how that happened.
Her hands tightened around the water bottle.
Were you there when it appeared?
Yes.
And?
So Tessa told them how she had tripped while she was running, and how one of the legacy had dragged her back along the stone path by her ankle. She told them how she'd broken his hold on her, and when they'd tried to come after her, the ground had shaken beneath them. She told them how she'd stumbled, falling to her hands and knees, and how the crevice had appeared to separate her from Pavel and Mateus. Then she told them about the beings that had drifted up out of the crevice before she turned and ran. Theon, Luca, and Axel didn't say a word the entire time she spoke. And when she finished, they were all staring at her. She couldn't read their expressions. All of their faces were masks of stone. Theon drained the last of his drink before he turned and went to his desk. He grabbed his tablet, his fingers swiping and his eyes rapidly skimming the contents.
You never once exhibited Earth element tendencies, Tessa.
He swiped again.
Your results were almost unanimously air, with a slight affinity for water.
He lifted his eyes to meet hers, waiting expectantly.
I don't know what you want me to say, Theon.
She gestured to the tablet.
You clearly know more about me than I do. I didn't even know my birthday until you told me.
Did you find a way to hide your true abilities, Tessa?
No!
Her heart rate picked up at the mere mention of the assessments.
That's not possible.
I wouldn't say it is impossible.
I would say it is impossible. You think you are prepared for those tests, but you never are. They are never the same.
So you try to prepare yourself for them. Why? If they are merely to estimate your element, what would you need to do to prepare?
Do you know what they do for those tests? Her hands tightened further around her water bottle. Rain had begun falling again.
Yes.
Do you really? Because if you did, you'd know why we tried to prepare ourselves for them. You'd know that those tests are designed to push you to the edge of breaking to see what inherent magic resides inside you. You'd know that I have endured physical pain to the point of losing consciousness, only to be healed just enough to continue. You'd know that I have been made to watch those I care about most being tortured in front of me, and I have been tortured in front of them. You'd know that one time they had me convinced I had parents and siblings, that I had a fucking family who loved me for no other reason than because I was breathing. But when I couldn't display an element on command, they killed a member of my mythical family until no one remained, then berated me for failing my own flesh and blood until I wanted to take my own life. You'd know they layer grief and pain and fury on top of each other. They do anything they can to drag magic from you. And for what? So the legacy can have a really good guess as to what element we'll have when we emerge. So they can figure out the best way to use us.
Tessa flinched at the sudden sound, turning to look out the window again.
You are not focusing on trying to control an element in those tests.
She watched the rain fall in the darkness.
You're too busy trying to separate lies from reality. You're too busy trying not to break so completely that you can't be fixed. But that's impossible. You always break. We help each other to glue the pieces back together. But it's never quite right. The pieces of yourself never quite fit back together the way they once did. Until, eventually, you don't remember what it was like to not feel cracked and scarred. Until, eventually, you are just a shell of what you once were. But you know there's no way to go back. So you just move forward. Even if death's song sounds sweeter and sweeter every time.
Tessa got lost in the memories of her assessments. She remembered the six of them huddled in Corbin and Lang's room, all of them on one small bed after a brutal round of testing. Dex had held her close, while Brecken had gripped her hand tightly. When the assessments started happening seasonally, they got drunk every night after the tests were completed. Those were the nights she ended up in a mortal's bed, trying to forget everything she'd endured that day, seeking any type of escape from it all. The priestesses always healed them of any physical injuries they received during the tests, but the mental wounds scarred, often ripping open at inopportune moments. The invisible marks were far worse than any physical ones.
Come sit with me, Tessa.
Tessa turned to find him sitting on the sofa. Axa and Luca had started their game, Luca lining up a shot while Theon had a stack of vials beside him.
I would prefer to go to bed.
She wanted nothing more than to curl up under a pile of blankets and sleep so she didn't have to feel.
In a bed. Come and sit with me for a while first.
Reluctantly, Tessa vacated her seat in the window and moved to sit beside him, her leg butting up against his. He wordlessly passed her a blanket before wrapping an arm around her and nestling her into his side. She instantly felt calmer as the cord settled in contentment at being next to him. She hated he could soothe her just by touching her, all because of a stupid mark on her hand. Theon flipped open one of the folders beside him and began reading through the contents.
Yeah, really.
Axel and Luca fell into their game, light conversation taking place between the three of them, and before she knew it, her eyes were drifting closed. They clearly thought she was asleep.
You know she created that crevice, right?
It certainly sounds that way.
Whatever beings crawled out of it certainly didn't sound like earth magic.
Luca cursed whatever was happening in the game.
I searched the gardens, but there was no sign of any beings. Even the swords were gone by the time I got back there. Since your father did not bring them up at dinner, I'm assuming he's in possession of them for his own purposes.
The being sounded like something Pavel and Matthias would create. Things of nightmares.
They don't have that kind of power.
Tessa was focusing on keeping her breathing even as they spoke, not wanting them to know she was listening to every word. She felt Theon adjust the blanket.
The only plausible explanation is that she did it.
How do you explain the beings, then? What do you think they were?
I don't know. She might know, but after hearing about the assessments, I didn't want to push her any more tonight.
That is fucked up. I knew they were put in stressful situations to see if their magic surfaced, but I didn't know it was anything like that.
Me either.
Tessa felt his fingers run over her hair, then along her arm.
If their gifts were allowed to emerge naturally around 10 years, they could emerge sooner and none of these aptitude tests would be necessary.
They're designed that way. The Fae were designed to be completely controlled by the descendants of the gods. That is why their magic has to be awakened by the priestesses for it to emerge completely. It gives Legacy a chance to master their gifts before the Fae can come into theirs.
Still fucked up. And that fucker is game.
They were destined to serve the Legacy. I doubt any thought was put into how uncomfortable the Fae were made in doing so.
Tessa couldn't help but stiffen slightly at his obvious indifference to what she and the other Fae had been put through. She'd always envied the mortals in that way. The Legacy could really care less about the humans. They just existed in their own towns and cities, rarely looked at twice, and there to carry out the mundane tasks of the realm that did not require magic. Theon's hand ran down her hair again, and she forced herself to relax. The boys started a new game.
It explains why she's so resilient. Why she hasn't broken yet.
Partly, I suppose.
Theon's fingers stroked lightly up and down her arm. He often did the same in the early hours of the day when she was just waking up.
I don't know. The way she spoke, she's been broken so many times she just figured out how to hold the pieces together.
She was put through the same assessments as the other Fae, other than those tagged to be sources early on. But she is still stronger willed than most other Fae. The assessments cannot be given all the credit for her tenacity.
What else do you think she's endured?
I wish I knew. I don't want her to break. I just need her to bend.
Careful, Theon. Something can only bend so far before it snaps.
Tessa spent the entire next day being ignored by Theon, Axel, and Luca, unless they wanted something. Thankfully, Theon had let her sleep in and didn't make her get up to go running, and she'd been perfectly content being left to herself all day. She spent the entirety of it trying to meld the Theon who had taken care of her after the source bond had been initiated with the Legacy who was her master now. Really, the same could be said for all three of them. Theon always had a temper that he worked hard to keep under control, not to mention how possessive he was. But now? Now there was a darkness that seemed to constantly linger around him. Literally. Whatever dark magic he possessed was often coiling around him or trailing his footsteps. Now he was cold more than he was hot. She was rarely allowed out of his sight, and he would randomly summon her to his side, seemingly just to have her near. Even more confusing were the random times he would corner her and kiss up her neck or trail his fingers along her body. Cord in her chest would flare to life with renewed vigor. Apparently, it could sense when he was being aloof with her, and when he gave her attention, it did whatever it could to keep it. The sensations were sharper, and the pleasure was deeper. But then he'd flip that switch again, leaving her practically panting and unable to focus on anything else. Luca and Axel were just as big of a mystery. Their own demons seemed to peer out from sapphire and emerald eyes. Axel's carefree mannerisms were few and far between, his darkness making an appearance every once in a while, and Luca seemed to be more brooding and aloof than before. Neither of them spoke to her unless necessary. The days of conversation around the table while eating breakfast or playing cards together were clearly over. Everything had changed since the incident with Pavel and Mateus, and Tessa couldn't figure out why for the life of her. All she knew was her world was a little darker, and she found herself caring less and less every day.
Hey, beautiful. You need to wake up.
Tessa groaned as she came up out of the deep sleep she'd been in. She grabbed a pillow and pulled it over her head.
I'm not running today, Theon.
She prayed to the gods he would let her sleep again this morning. But her prayers went unanswered, as usual, when he pulled the pillow from her hands.
We are not going running, Tessa. We need to be on the road to Rockmoor in an hour. You need to get up and get ready.
She went rigid at the words. She'd adamantly ignored any thoughts of the aptitude test she was going to be forced into today. No one said anything about it to her, and whenever it tried to cross her thoughts, she immediately put in earbuds and turned up one of the playlists Axel had set up for her. She didn't think she was going to be able to sleep last night, but when Theon had crawled into the bed and tugged her back into his chest and began making slow circles with his thumb along her stomach, she found herself asleep within minutes.
Come on, little storm.
She felt the blankets being pulled off of her before hands were on her shoulders and rolling her to her side.
Look at me, Tessa.
She took a deep, steadying breath and opened her eyes to find him staring back at her with concern.
I do not know. I do not know what the best clothing options are for the assessment today.
My running clothes will be best.
She pushed herself up before him. He lifted a hand as if he were going to touch her, but he dropped it back to his side instead, nodding once in confirmation. He moved to get off the bed.
I'll need a change of clothing for afterwards.
That muscle in his jaw ticked, and darkness appeared in his irises.
Understood. Get up and get ready. Axel and Luca will be here in a half hour. We will eat breakfast on the way.
40 minutes later, they were piling into the vehicle, Luca behind the wheel as usual. As they were pulling out of the gates, Theon handed her a banana and a yogurt with granola. 20 minutes flew by as Tessa ignored the food.
You need to eat, Tessa.
She looked down at her lap where she still held the breakfast in her hands. He could be right. She could need the sustenance, but he could also be very wrong. Having food in her stomach could be the worst thing to do, depending on what the assessment would entail. Opting for middle ground, she set the yogurt in the cup holder and slowly ate the banana as they drove. Theon didn't mention finishing her breakfast again, and she found herself grateful he had momentarily paused being a dick for the day. Then she wondered at what point that had become her standard of something she was grateful for. The trip to Rockmoor went by quickly, and before she knew it, they were pulling up in front of a towering white building. There was a smaller version of this building in Arobel, near the Celeste Estate, a health compound for various procedures, including element assessments. Try as she might, Tessa couldn't help the trembling that had started in her limbs as Axel and Luca climbed out of the vehicle. The banana she had forced down was already threatening to make a reappearance, and she swallowed hard against the bile rising in her throat.
Tessa?
She brought her eyes to Theon's. He stared back at her. She could swear the cord was vibrating so violently between them, it was going to rise up out of their skin. He reached out a hand to her, and she took it, allowing him to pull her along the seat. He pressed his brow to hers, his hand slipping to the nape underneath the high ponytail she'd pulled her hair in.
I will be there as soon as it is over. I will be there to take care of you.
And even though she knew it was because she was his source and not because he actually cared about her, she nodded her head, forcing back the tears threatening to pool in her eyes. She would need him. She would need the bond. She would need something to anchor her if she could not have her friends, her real family, surrounding her afterwards. A part of her broke at knowing it'd be him that would hold her together after this. She didn't beg him not to make her do this. It wouldn't change anything. She knew that even though his father had ordered this, he wanted it done too. He wanted to know just as much as his father did. Theon brushed his lips lightly against hers before turning and opening the car door. He led her over to where Luca and Axel were waiting near the entrance.
Ready?
Theon nodded, and Luca pulled the door open. The inside was as white as the outside of the building. Bright lights glared off the white marble floor. A white marble desk rose up in front of them, a Fae sitting behind it. She wore a black business suit, her brown hair twisted into a tight bun at the back of her head. She stood and bowed immediately in the presence of the legacy. Then, realizing that the Arius heirs stood before her, she dropped to a knee.
Forgive me, my lords.
Rise. You know why I am here, yes?
The Fae nodded.
I will call for a priestess at once.
Do so.
Tessa looked around the lobby. There wasn't another piece of furniture in the entire space. Theon's fingers tightened around her hand as the sound of clicking heels sounded from behind them. They turned to find another Fae walking towards them, dressed the same way as the one who had greeted them. She dropped to a knee in front of Theon immediately.
Heir of Arius, it is an honor. The head priestess is preparing the assessment. If you would follow me to an exam room, they will collect your source from there.
My associates will join me.
It wasn't a request. Her eyes remained fixed on the ground.
Of course, my lord.
She led them through a door and down a corridor with more doors on either side of it before she opened one and let them all enter.
The wait should only be a moment.
She shut the door behind them. This room had a small sofa and padded chairs in it. There was an exam table of some sort against one wall. Axel set the duffel bag he was carrying onto a chair, his gaze flickering over Tessa. There was another door opposite the one they had entered, and when it opened, a muscular Fae male came through. who wore a loose linen tunic and pants. Tessa immediately unzipped her jacket, shrugging out of it and handing it to Theon. She only wore a sports bra beneath it.
Tessa, what are you?
She held out her hand for a heart rate monitor to be placed on her finger. The face said nothing as he attached sensors to her chest inside, but she caught a glimpse of the markings on his inner wrist. He'd attended the Faelene estate, was assigned to serve in the Arius kingdom, and his element was water.
Left or right?
Right. Tessa moved back and hopped onto the table before lying back. He nodded, moving to a cabinet on the wall, pulling down supplies to start an IV line. The Fae met her eyes as he wrapped a band tightly around her arm and she made a fist. He glanced once more at the legacy in the room, before returning his attention to her arm. He bent over her to insert the catheter.
Do you want to know?
Yes.
A level 5 room.
Tessa closed her eyes, sucking in a breath as the needle went into her arm. She knew deep down that she would be going into the worst rooms. The young Fae, who were first starting assessments, went into level 1 rooms. As they got older, they progressed to levels 3 and 4, with the horrors faced more terrifying on the higher level. She had only heard of level 5 rooms, never been in one.
What does that mean?
Tessa opened her eyes to find Theon standing on the other side of the table. She hadn't realized he'd moved so close to her.
What does a level 5 room mean?
Neither the Fae nor Tessa said anything as the Fae wrapped her IV site.
You'll need to remove your socks and shoes.
The Fae retreated out the door he'd entered through.
Tessa, what does that mean?
Theon knocked her hands out of the way as she sat up and reached for her sneakers. He undid the laces and pulled them from her feet, stuffing her socks inside of them.
It means you should have a fairly accurate answer to your question of my element when I am done.
She didn't have it in her to fight him. Not with what she was about to face. The door opened again, and a legacy came through. Her copper hair was braided over her shoulder, and gold ivy was woven through it. A golden circlet sat low on her brow. She bowed to Theon before coming to stand beside them at the table.
Heir of Arius, my name is Zephira, and I am honored to be performing your source's assessments this morning.
Thank you for seeing us on such short notice.
While unconventional, the Arius Lord was rather insistent.
She leaned forward to check Tessa's IV.
Do you have any questions before we begin?
How long will the assessment take?
Theon had shoved his hands deep into the pockets of his suit pants.
Lord St. Orcus indicated you wanted the advanced assessments done, correct?
Yes.
They will take much of the morning, and she will need an hour of recovery afterwards. You are free to stay in this room during the tests. There is a television in that cabinet, and refreshments will be provided.
The priestess motioned towards a freestanding armoire across from the sofa.
I cannot be with her.
Tessa sat quietly, already knowing the answers to everything he was asking.
I am afraid not, my lord. We rarely do such assessments on sources because the bond makes the master particularly protective. We made an exception because of your situation, and I did caution Lord St. Orcus about this. You may watch from an observation deck if you insist, but I would highly suggest making yourself comfortable here.
When can I be with her again?
When the tests are concluded, she will be moved to a recovery room to be monitored while her results are compiled. You can be with her there if you would like, or we can bring her back to this room when the recovery period is over.
You will take me to her as soon as she is in the recovery room. Is that understood?
Darkness appeared to thicken around Theon. Zephyria flinched back, her eyes widening. Luca was suddenly there, placing a hand on Theon's shoulder.
She understands, Theon. I think it's best if we stay in here during the assessment.
Theon shook off Luca's hand.
We will go to the observation deck.
I will request your associates join you in that case.
Fine.
I will have someone escort you momentarily. Any other questions?
Theon looked at Tessa, that muscle ticking in his jaw again.
No. No other questions.
Wonderful.
She moved gracefully back to the door and opened it.
We are ready, Rhett.
The same Fae from before came back into the room, handing Zephyria a tablet.
I will need you to sign this, giving us permission to perform the assessment as her master.
Theon took the tablet stiffly, scribbling his signature with a finger, before shoving it back at her. She gave it to Rhett and pulled a syringe from the pocket of the gown she wore. Golden liquid swirled inside of it. Tessa immediately started trembling again. Her breathing turned ragged. Theon's gaze flashed to her. She saw him start to lift a hand towards her, but the priestess stepped in front of him. She quickly injected the golden liquid into the IV line.
What is that? What did you just give her?
Nothing to worry about, Heir of Arius. It helps prepare her body for the tests. A variation of the initial source elixir you injected her with. It simply makes her more compliant until we are ready to begin. She knows how uncomfortable these assessments can be, and this ensures she does not fight when it is time.
Zephyria stepped aside, nodding to Rhett, who came forward and easily lifted Tessa into his arms. A snarl ripped from Theon, and Luca held him back.
He's taking her to the assessment, Theon.
Zephyria gave a look that could only indicate disapproval.
If you still wish to observe, I will send someone to escort you. But know that the discomfort you are feeling now will only increase.
Tessa's arms and legs felt too heavy to move, and her head dropped forward against Rhett's chest. The Fae squeezed her gently where he held her, offering silent camaraderie to a fellow Fae.
I will watch.
Very well. I will send an escort.
With that, she turned and walked out, Rhett following obediently behind her. She heard Theon snarl again and the door close behind them, and Rhett carried her down a hallway. They climbed two sets of stairs before they entered a darkened room, and Tessa was placed into a chair. Rhett strapped her arms to the armrests and her legs to the bottom before the chair was reclined back. She stared up at the ceiling, trying to regulate her breathing. No windows. Never any windows. There were mirrors lining the upper half of one wall, and she guessed that was where Theon would be watching. Zephyra's pretty face appeared in Tessa's line of vision, her rich brown eyes trying to appear kind, but Tessa knew better.
Today may be a bit more uncomfortable than you have experienced in the past, Tessalyn.
She pulled something from her pocket.
I just need you to let your body naturally respond to everything. Do not fight it.
The same instructions they were always given. A mask was fitted over her mouth and nose, and soon a sweet-smelling gas filled her senses. The rune swam around her before burning hot pain was searing up her spine. She screamed around the mask, thrashing against the bindings that held her in place as the burning intensified. Tears leaked out of her eyes and ran down the sides of her face, mixing with the sweat already beading there and pooling into her hair. She couldn't scream anymore, the burning in her lungs too much to let her elicit any noise. She couldn't feel the straps biting into her skin as she strained against them. She couldn't hear the noises of the machines she was hooked up to, or see the various legacy monitoring her. As if the pain weren't enough, the cord inside her chest was having a fit of its own at being so far from Theon. Shocks erupted from her nerve endings. She closed her eyes against the agony, and once again, she begged for death to come for her. As suddenly as it had started, the pain stopped. Tessa opened her eyes, blinking against the sunlight. She wasn't bound to the chair anymore, but standing in the middle of some woods. Birds fluttered from a tree to her right, and she spun around at the noise.
This isn't real.
The cord inside of her reacted as if it were definitely real. The jolt of pain it elicited through her body at believing it was so far from Theon almost knocked her to her knees.
It's not real.
Of course it is real.
A tall male with golden hair and eyes stepped from the trees. She immediately recognized him as Dagian Jove, the Akaz heir.
What are you doing here?
Tessa dragged her hands through her hair and tugged.
I heard Theon's source was on the run. I thought I would see if I could track you down first.
Dagian casually strolled closer.
I'm not running from him.
No? Then what are you doing out here in the Dreamlock Woods so far from him? It is well known you have tried to run from him before. Quite the embarrassment for the Arius Kingdom, really.
Tessa looked at the trees around her.
I don't know. I've never been to the Dreamlock Woods.
The Dreamlock Woods ran between the Akaz and Seraphina kingdoms along the Windvale River.
You know I am more powerful than he is, right?
I did not know that, my lord.
She tried desperately to get her bearings. How had she traveled to the Dreamlock Woods?
What do you mean you did not know? I descend from Akaz, the ruler of the gods. Of course I am more powerful than an Arius descendant.
Tessa was quiet, trying to figure out the best way to navigate this particular part of the assessment, but the pain from the bond was excruciating and making it too hard to focus. She pulled at her hair again, trying to stay grounded.
Look at me when I am speaking to you, Fae. Tell me, How did the heir of Arius get a more powerful source than I did?
I'm not that powerful.
Tessa slowly backed away from him.
I heard what happened in those gardens. We all did.
That wasn't me. I didn't do that.
Maybe. Maybe not. Either way, I cannot take that risk, can I?
Golden light crackled between Dajian's fingers.
How did you manage to evade the rest of us when we were looking at source prospects? How did you manage to evade me?
I don't know. I didn't do anything.
You know, since I couldn't get a private moment with you, I had to track down your fey friends from the Celeste Estate.
He took another step towards her. Tessa went utterly still.
What?
It is a shame, really. That was a nice group of fey. They would have served their kingdoms well once assigned. But none of them could answer my questions either.
This isn't real!
The pain whipping through her body said otherwise. A bolt of power straight from Dajian's palm suddenly knocked her onto her back. Tessa screamed as pain shouted through her before she rolled onto her side and vomited.
I can do this all day, Tessa Lyn Ossera.
Dajian crouched down beside her and brushed a stray piece of hair from her face. His fingertips dragged along her cheek.
I need to know what those things were that you created in those gardens.
I didn't create anything.
She pushed herself up onto her hands and knees, then immediately collapsed back to the ground as another bolt of power slammed into her. She screamed when Dajian didn't let up, hitting her again and again.
One, two, three.
Will you last longer than your friends? What were their names again? You fey all tend to bleed together after a while.
Please stop.
Tessa was unable to even move her arms to lift herself up.
Answer my questions, Tessalyn, and this all stops. Serafina's heir is en route, by the way. Leala will enjoy helping me pry answers out of you. There is no way in any of the realms we will allow the Arius Kingdom to regain power in this world.
I don't know what that means. I don't know anything.
Tessa's heart broke for Dex and Lang, for all of them. She'd never gotten to see them again after the opening selection. She'd never gotten the opportunity to say goodbye, to feel one more of Corbin's comforting hugs. She'd never gotten to hear Dex's voice one last time.
You are his source, Tessalyn. Surely he has shared secrets with you.
He tells me nothing!
Another bolt of power unleashed, and the bond amplified the sensations. She tasted blood in her mouth, felt it trickling from her nose, her ears.
Please, stop.
I do not believe you. No one believes you, Tessalyn. You are just another fey, expendable to us. Perhaps Theon will be glad to be rid of you. He can select a new source that can actually please him. One that isn't too much of a hassle.
Dajian glanced up at the sky, a look of confusion passing over his features. Tessa had managed to push herself to her knees, her body shaking violently.
I need to see your power, Tessalyn.
It hasn't emerged yet. I can't access it.
The world spun around her as she fell forward onto her hands once more.
You can, under the right conditions.
A cruel grin filled the Acas Lord's features. He raised his hands once more, golden light crackling at his fingertips, and Tessa braced herself for the burst of power. But it never came.
Do not touch her again.
Not real.
Tessa wrapped her arms tightly around herself.
This can't be real.
The female began circling Tessa. Ashy footprints left in her wake as she smirked at Dajian.
Your move.
Another burst of ashes left a black dagger hovering at her shoulder. Dejian didn't move. And then Tessa was gasping as her eyes flew open to find herself staring up at the ceiling of a room, still strapped to a chair.
What did you do?
Zephyrus snarled at her hands gripping Tessa's face too tightly.
Who was that? How did you call her?
I didn't do anything.
Tessa jerked against her restraints. She could still feel Dejian's magic coursing through her body.
Not real. Dex is still alive. They are all fine. None of it was real.
Zephyra pushed away from her, pacing back and forth.
You are proving far more difficult than I anticipated.
She seemed to think this was all Tessa's fault. She snapped her fingers at Rhett, and he appeared a moment later with another syringe. This one was filled with a dark black liquid.
This will sting.
She uncapped the syringe. In a matter of seconds, Tessa was screaming again as pain tore through her. It felt like daggers were being driven into her stomach, while her skin was simultaneously being peeled from her body. The pressure in her head was unbearable, and she could feel blood trickling from her nose, her ears, the corner of her mouth. There was no counting to endure this.
Please hand
the last thing she remembered syringe. Was Zephyra asking for another syringe before darkness dragged her under.
Theon lost his god's damn mind when Tessa started screaming again. For a few minutes, her cries of pain and torment had ceased. He'd forced himself to watch everything they were doing to her. He'd watched as they'd strapped her to a chair. He'd watched when they put some sort of mask over her mouth and nose. He'd forced himself to keep his eyes on her when they pushed more and more things into her body, trying not to think how he'd done the same. He'd thought they were done. There had been no sign of her element that he could see, but he also didn't know how this worked. Tessa was clearly experiencing something, though. Right now, Luca and Axel were both holding him back as he strained against the observation window, slamming his fists against it again and again. He watched his source at the mercy of the priestess, who was injecting more of the black elixir into her. Tessa was screaming, blood running from her nose and ears. The cord in him was vibrating and tightening around his chest, making it hard to breathe. Was she dying? Is that why it felt like this?
Theon!
Lucas strained to hold him back.
There is nothing we can do.
It has to be over soon, right?
Axel held just as tight as Luca.
It's been over 3 hours.
Shadows were pooling in Theon's hands, seeping from his skin and thickening around his body. It began filling the entire room, forcing Axel to use his own power to counteract it.
Theon!
Tessa's screams echoed up to them, and Luca's sapphire eyes began to glow faintly. Theon closed his eyes and tilted his head back, roaring into the room at not being able to get to her. The Bond was panicking at having his source of power in danger, and he was up here instead of down there with her, unable to protect what was his. He now knew that was why he hadn't been allowed to be in that room. He would have let his darkness feast on everyone in that room the moment Tessa had even whimpered in pain. Except he hadn't. He'd done absolutely nothing while she had tried to prepare herself for this. Sure, he'd left her alone for the most part yesterday, tried to take her mind off it when he could tell her thoughts had drifted there. He'd held her a little tighter while she slept, letting the source bond offer whatever comfort it could. But he hadn't done anything on the drive here when she couldn't stomach breakfast. He hadn't done anything when she'd shed her jacket and sat back to have the IV placed in her arm, as if this were simply routine. He'd done nothing when Zephyra and that Fae had taken her from him, despite her obvious panic over what was about to happen. And now, he could do nothing but watch.
I think she's done. The priestess is giving her something else.
Theon opened his eyes to look down into the room again. The Fae was wiping the blood from Tessa's ears and nose. The priestess was pressing her hand to Tessa's forehead, clearly healing whatever the fuck she had done to her. Tessa's eyes did not open, though. The door to the room opened behind them, and Theon whirled. He grabbed the Fae by the throat, lifting her off of her feet. Her eyes widened in terror as her hands flew to Theon's, trying to dislodge his fingers. He only flexed them more, her pulse thrumming wildly. He caught a glimpse of her element marking. Air. She wouldn't dare use it against him.
How long until she wakes?
The female was gasping and shaking her head, writhing against the wall. Axel placed a hand on Theon's arm.
Theon, she's going to take you to her, aren't you?
The Fae began nodding as much as she could beneath Theon's hold. He released her, and she sank to the floor.
Get up!
She scrambled to her feet.
This way! My lord!
They all followed her from the room to a stairwell. When they'd gone down two floors, she paused, turning to Axel and Luca.
The priestess requested only her master come to recovery. If you continue down another flight, you will come to the hallway that will lead back to the exam room you were in. It will be the fourth door on your left.
Theon?
I will be fine.
As long as she took him directly to Tessa, they had nothing to worry about.
Take me to her.
The female nodded, picking up her pace as she led him through a door and down yet another hallway. At the end, she pushed through two swinging double doors. The Fae who had been assisting Zephyra was just placing Tessa down onto a bed. Theon pushed past the female who had led him here, stalking over to Tessa's side. He shoved the male Fae out of the way, leaning over Tessa and smoothing hair back from her face. She was pale and sweaty, and vomit was on her clothes from when he'd watched her retch during the assessment.
When will she wake?
Soon, my lord.
She was pushing something clear into the IV tubing. Theon hadn't even registered she was standing there, all of his focus on Tessa.
Leave us!
The room immediately cleared out.
We need to discuss her results.